What happened?
This is like the first time.
Me, folks. No intros, nothing. I just really sat here with these guys. I don't even know how long they've been episode four of What If. Cyber, I don't know what the hell happened there. I swear to God, I hit live. You saw me hit it and play the intro. Okay. Difficulties, panel. I'm sorry about that, folks.
That's too funny.
Definitely a different kind of intro.
That's just how it is. That's the bleeding edge for you.
That's bleeding edge style, baby. Hey, don't worry about it, guys. I'll go back around and give you guys a chance to do that first run around that first question again, and just give me like a condensed version, right? Sorry, guys, this is a shit show, like unprofessional version of an introduction to a review of What If Season 2, Episode 4 and 5. I hit the live button, but maybe I clicked on my picture of Jar Jar Binks or something instead. You know, because I was thinking about Jar Jar narrating my life. I don't know. It's possible. But I will play the introduction, though. I'll play the introduction.
I'm here today to meet the woman of my dreams. I've been talking to this girl on the internet for a while. I've actually been trying to save some money to go see this woman.
You talk to her online.
I go to the library, believe it or not, talk to this woman. I met her on MySpace, and she's a very beautiful woman. She's tall, skinny, she's redhead, very beautiful woman.
Why don't we do it this way? Because you've never met her
before. Never met her.
Well, then I'm going to ask you to leave for a few moments, and we'll want to bring her out, let the audience meet her, and then we can both observe you two meeting, which will be a nice moment in your life, okay? So if you would just
leave
here. We'll have you back in a moment. Thank you. So her name is Joby. Let's bring out Joby. Hi, Joby.
Hello, Jerry.
You met Brad here on the internet.
Yes, we met on MySpace.
On MySpace. And what attracted you to him?
He was cute. He seemed very nice in the message he sent me.
Yeah. And you think this could be the one?
Yes.
And
but I have a secret to tell him.
You have a secret to tell him?
Yes.
And your secret is?
I'm a man, Jerry. He says he wants to meet me, you know, he tried to get a bus ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said I'd just call the Jerry Springer Show, you know, because then it'll give it more of a spin.
See what, you know, what his reaction is going to be. But you really care about him. This isn't just to play a trick on someone. You really want him to be okay with you. All right. Well, let's bring him out now. Okay, how about a nice hand? Let's bring him back now. Here's Brad.
How you doing?
So good to meet you. It's kind of nervous on national TV, I know, but, like, I wanted to ask, like, maybe, like, you know, you could be my girlfriend.
Well, Brad, I have to tell you, I'm a man.
I'll try anything once.
For some reason, you're not. We can't hear you, Jeff.
Oh, I turned my microphone off. I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Sorry about that. Jess, I was going to hook you up with that girl's number, but it turns out she's a dude, man. I guess she's a
dude. No, bro.
I couldn't tell her anything, though. You
know, God.
I thought it was a beautiful woman at first when I first saw her until she revealed that secret. You know, it was like our
own. I will say, though, the guy has long hair, too. So, I mean, they're probably a match made in heaven. I don't know.
Kelly, you gonna fall out or what? You gonna fall out, Kelly?
Oh, my Lord.
Shit. They got you, huh?
Maybe I do need my edible.
You do.
On an all-new Dr. Phil.
I am the reincarnation of Pocahontas. I'm sharing her soul in my body.
Her parents claim their daughter.
They've seen you speaking in tongues.
Is violent.
I just kind of pulled her over my shoulder, threw her, and then right in the eye.
And has issues.
This is how you showed up for work.
Please help my daughter.
You think I'm crazy? Are you sure that you guys aren't just delusional?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, baby. Episode 4, What If? There we go. You'll love it. She shared a soul with Pocahontas in her own episode of What If? That chick got Dr. Phil.
Wait, what is Cyber's profile pic? That's not him, is he?
Cyber, he's blended into his green screen, I think. Completely blended in. It's possible.
Oh, so, okay.
It's a new kind of like Iceman Cyber, like freezing or whatever, whatnot, where like he's not even up there. Like, this is the background, the green screen. There you go, folks. We're having all kinds of technical issues here at the MCU's meeting tonight. Anyways, now that we have our own little segments of different what if dimensions that are possible that we might see later on.
Dude.
Dude. Going back to before, right? I'm not going to make you guys revisit, like, you know, the whole beginning of it, whatnot, folks. But before Jeff S, aka True Knowledge, somehow managed to not hit the live button correctly, which I have done to Jason before, Wrath of Khan before. This is not the first time. We had already started discussing and talking about. I already watched the trailer, and we're talking about the beginning of episode 4. So another person in the Bleeding Edge audience that has no words. What a shock. How are you, Facebook user?
So I actually see who it is. It's Jocelyn.
Oh, hey, Joss, what's going on? Yeah, Joss, you have no words of all people? I'm surprised you don't have anything to say about that. That's shocking. But anyways, so back to episode 4, guys. I'll start with you, Cal, right? So the whole deal where we go into and we have basically Tony Stark as Iron Man coming off of this, you know, this concept where, you know, he's not able to get back to Earth after the first, you know, Avengers movie, and he's stuck in Sakaar, like, you know, Thor Ragnarok, basically, right? Wanting to go back to Earth, right? Ask for a spaceship, and sort of, you know, is being held by the Grand Master, who makes him watch what he calls, like, what he has for entertainment for his people, which is these sort of chariot gladiator spaced up version races where they kill each other to death. As for, you know, for a victor, it, you know, it, so obviously Tony doesn't like it, right? Like, he's not very happy with it and whatnot. It is kind of like, you know, a little bit barbaric, right? Like, and obviously the people who are doing it are being forced to do it. Like, they're not, it's against their will. So, you know, basically, I didn't see anybody jerking it, Joss, but that's okay. Maybe that'll happen later on in the episode. But so basically, Cal, what I was going to ask you was that whole deal where basically you end up with Gamora coming in from Guardians of the Galaxy, right? And, like, you know, taking on Tony, trying to kill Tony. And then he kind of gets imprisoned. The assistant throws the bug on him that electrical chips him. They stick him in the room together. Stopping there, right? What were your thoughts on that whole scene and whatnot, right? We had Valkyrie in there, right? We saw the guy that's made out of rocks, Korg. He's really funny too. Korg, he's very funny. What did you think of that whole? What did you think of the whole gladiator chariot shit?
I could see the chariot racing and everything. It makes it look like it's a happy place and everyone wants to race when they're not really into it. Like you said, they're forced kind of into doing this race tradition thing there. And maybe I missed something, but I really don't see where Gamora would really fit into this other than the fact that he just threw a missile or whatever into the ship and then disappeared and stuff, and she's trying to find him to take him out. But I just thought her part in that was a little weird to me. Like, it didn't fit.
It's a parallel dimension, so
I know, like, but it just
maybe she went down a wormhole or whatever. You have to remember the car seems to be this dumping spot where people just end up in these wormholes and they just end up there.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been that way for her too, but it just seemed like a weird pairing. I mean, I could see Valkyrie and Korg, you know, for that part and everything, but I don't know. I couldn't see her in this part and everything, but Pete Korg was pretty hilarious. I love that guy. The guy that voices him is really awesome.
The director of Thor 3, yeah, Taika Waititi. Is that it? Did you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right, Rathacon. Same question, sir. Skip the intro, right? Going into the actual, you know, the Grandmaster kind of, you know, sort of like lightly imprisoning Tony Stark, right? Not allowing him to go to Earth, not giving him a spaceship. Shows him the chariot races and whatnot, everything. What'd you think of all that?
Okay, so I found it funny how the Grandmaster was like squeezing his cheeks, like as if he's like a little kid, even though that guy like saved the world. And then okay, the chariot race, I just wanted to say it reminds me so much of Hot Wheels. Okay, like someone's audio.
It's Nate, don't move your phone so much.
Sorry, I just went to
That's okay. Maybe that's what Joss was talking about when she was mentioning somebody jacking off. Okay, I see.
Okay. So literally, when you see how crazy the design of those chariots or vehicles are, and like seeing like how they display the action as if like they're all racing each other, it reminded me of this one Hot Wheels show back in Cartoon Network back when I was like a kid. And sometimes I was just like wondering, like, are they just like copying Hot Wheels, basically?
Possibly. It is similar to Hot Wheels. You're right.
Yeah, and it was so cool. I'll just say that.
Now, did you know who most of the characters were? Did you know who most of the characters were in like in the race deal or whatnot, like the chariot shit?
Most of them are unfamiliar to me, so
okay. No. So you really didn't have any background information on them. That's understandable. There's nothing wrong with that.
Wait, is Gamora one of them?
Gamora is from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
So was she in the chariot or not?
Yeah, she was. She was. Okay. She was one of the like the prisoners, whatever, whatnot, that's forced to fight, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Now she's Thanos' daughter, and that's the big connection in the episode. Obviously, is the fact that like she's Thanos' daughter. She knows that Tony Stark basically like destroyed Thanos' army and like it impeded him from getting the Infinity Stone that he wants, right? So that's like the big deal. That's the big connection. Nick, great. Your thoughts on that part of the episode, sir?
Yeah, I think it was kind of. I think the humor in this one was very funny. Especially sort of some of the one-liners that Korg ended up giving. And there's one that I towards later in the show that just made me really laugh. But we'll get to that when we get to that. The one-liners for Korg were very, very funny. So that's what I had to take away from that.
Okay. Did you enjoy the Korg humor?
Look, I'm sorry. Can you repeat what you just said? Did I enjoy the?
Did you enjoy the Korg humor?
The Korg humor was very funny. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Great. All right, Cybernetic Shark. So, your thoughts on the chariot race scene, whatnot, everything, and that whole sort of part of the episode?
Let's see here. I mean, the sequence itself is it's not too shabby. I mean, it's okay. There's definitely some good one-liners that go on during that sequence, and anytime the Grandmaster says something, I started cracking up real hard. Even some of the lines that Tony Stark said were pretty funny too. It was pretty on point funny, but I think the whole concept, like, it felt very much like Thor Ragnarok, even a little bit of like pod racing for me too at that sequence. Totally made me think of you know, the pod racing scene in Star Wars Episode One, and I think that whole chariot sequence was pretty well, you know, executed. I thought overall I think it was decently done. But animation-wise, I wasn't a huge fan. I'm not a huge fan of the animation for the series. And it's okay. It's like, it's decent, but it's nothing great. But overall, you know, I think that this sequence and, you know, leading up to it, like I said, I think the best part about it was the one-liners that the Grand Master says throughout this whole thing. They were just on point hilarious.
Okay. Let's see here. Nate, sir, I already went to you. I already went to Con. All right, I think I basically went around everybody right there. Nate, I muted you for a minute there, buddy. Do me a favor, Nate. Mute yourself in between contributions, will you? Just a little bit of background, like feedback. So once you're going to contribute, go ahead and just mute yourself, okay?
All right.
All right, so moving on from that part of the episode, episode four, right? We basically then see, you know, Gamora getting trapped or locked up in like this kind of like suite. And there is some kind of weird kind of like out there humor and whatnot, everything with the assistant where they locked them up together. She says something to Gamora, like, I sense the connection between you and two or whatever, whatnot, like hinting a romantic connection or whatever. And basically Tony's able to sort of like sway Gamora with Korg's help. It's awesome that like they turn around and Korg is there. Right. And he's just, oh, I'm just a pile of rocks with eyes. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like he's hilarious. Like he's utterly fucking hilarious in the episode. But right. So basically, you know, when they get stuck in there, Korg stops Gamora from trying to kill Tony. It turns out Gamora was sent there by Thanos to kill Stark for stopping the Chitauri. That's how much time passed after he brought that missile up into space. For somehow going through that wormhole, time passed like that for like a week or some shit. So basically at that point, you know, before, you know, Topaz is the chief enforcer, like the assistant of the Grand Masters. When she's the one imprisoning them that puts them in the room, the love suite. When Tony finds out Gamora's purpose and who she is, you know, he vows to, you know, stop the Grand Master, get back to Earth, and ask for her help, essentially, right? To, like, stop the Grand Master, because what he's doing to these, like, people, keeping them tortured for entertainment, keeping them in prison is wrong, right? He wants to free the planet so he can also be able to get a spaceship and get off Earth. So, essentially, you know, Stark escapes. Gamora chooses to help, end up helping him out. He recruits Korg and Valkyrie, or he convinces Valkyrie to make a deal with him, right? Not Gamora at that point. Valkyrie, he convinces to make a deal with him, who's a drunk in the movie, just like she is in Ragnarok, Thor 3. He builds a new Iron Man suit, a la like Iron Man 1, sort of, and challenges the Grand Master to like a race, essentially, like, you know, a duel for, you know, with the spaced up, you know, like cars. For the title of Sakaar's ruler, which, you know, Topaz tells the Grand Master, he's so funny, Jeff Goldblum's voice, as his voice doing the Grand Master, tells him not to do it. She's like, this is not a good idea for you. Don't make this move. And he chooses to do it anyway. So basically, you know, we end up with us having the race. Of course, the Grand Master are cheating, right? In the race to try to win. But, you know, essentially, you know, Stark ultimately winning while, you know, Valkyrie's able to, like, you know, kind of like defeat Topaz and, you know, and also incapacitates the Grand Master, you know, Topaz kind of being the impediment, you know, of Tony. Grand Master calls it a tie, says he won the tie. The crowd doesn't like it. And he gets melt sticked, which is hilarious. It's utterly hilarious when he gets melt sticked. But Valkyrie ends up being crowned the king of Sakaar. Stark convinces Gamora to forge on her own path. Like, you know, she gets some redemption, sort of like as a character, as Gamora still, like, you know, under Thanos, before joining her to like confront and kill Thanos, right? As the Watcher kind of explains to wrap up the episode. So going to you, Nate the Great, what are your thoughts on that final section of the episode?
Going back to what I said earlier about those one-liners, the one about the one where Cork ends up saying paper being my nemesis and all. Paper being my nemesis and all. I thought that was pretty funny. It took me a little bit to see what Iron Man was, what Tony was doing when challenging him in a race. I guess I don't know. It just took me a little bit longer than I expected. I like, how they were kind of building it up to towards the end about him trying to convince Gamora to become that what she did is not her purpose, and all. I do love the theme behind that. That's something I really enjoyed. When we finish talking about the episode, I think I'm gonna rate this episode higher just because of the theme behind it.
So Nate, do you mean the way that they basically changed Gamora's character arc in that tiny little episode?
A tiny episode, yeah, but
when in the MCU it took multiple films for her kind of almost to really become a do-gooder kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. All right. Going to you, Cybernetic Shark, sir. Your thoughts on the final segment of the film? The episode. I apologize.
It's all good.
Hey, technical speech difficulties.
You're fun. Anyway, the end of this episode's pretty fun. You get a lot of action. You get some funny one-liners that include Gamora and Tony and the Grandmaster himself. I have to agree with Nate. The whole rock, paper, scissor thing was hilarious. So with Korg, that was heavily. He's like, paper's my nemesis, which was absolutely funny. And, the whole battle sequence at the end there where, Grandmaster's lackey there is trying to, destroy, Tony, and his suit turns into the spaceship, the roadster he's using, the race and stuff like that was insane. And, it goes back to, how the beginning of the first Iron Man was, where he built his first suit out of nothing and that cave. So, same kind of scenario here that they're talking about. And, it's really funny, really fun. At the end where the kill stick breaks off and falls down, hits Grandmaster right in the foot and makes him melt, like the Wicked Witch of the West, which was absolutely freaking hilarious. If you watched, I don't know if anybody stayed till after the credits, but he's a puddle and he's talking to his assistant, which was hilarious. He's like, "Can you find something to pick me up with? I'm still here." And it was absolutely hilarious too. So I thought the whole ending was really fun, really enjoyable, and overall a good episode, I thought.
Kelly.
I have to agree with Cyber. I liked how the car, his suit transformed into the car to race when he needed it, because obviously he probably knew the Grandmaster was going to cheat. So he had to have a little backup. But before they went to go race, one of the lines where Korg says, "You vile asparagus woman," I thought that was a pretty good part right there. And eventually, him trying to persuade Gamora into helping him, even though you don't see the bits and pieces in between that leads up to it after she kind of took him at the end and they both work together to try to, eliminate Thanos and everything. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good ending for that part and some of the lines and everything, but the Grandmaster still creeped me out towards the end too. But I'm glad he kind of turned to goo at the end as well. So it was pretty good at the end. So I liked all of them together, how they just had these little one-liners and stuff.
Yeah, there was some really good back and forth humor. It was kind of a seriously toned, lighthearted episode, I thought. if anything, maybe, right? That was nice to see some humor. Kel, I'm glad that you mentioned it more than once. Yeah. Wrath of Khan, wrap it up, brother.
Firstly, I just love the whole like Mario Kart style sequence. It's like something that I did not see in the beginning, because in the beginning it was like all in a circle. This one's like grand. I just wish that they had like, you know how like in Mario Kart they have like the, what do you call it, the block with the question mark? I wish like they would like do that to like make the effects even better. But seeing Tony like build his own car out of a suit, that's just like whole new level. I wish Mario Kart would have like something like that in their games.
Wasn't it super powered by his arc reactor too?
It is, yeah.
That's what I thought. Do you want to go ahead and start off ratings? Wrath of Khan, what's your rating for episode 4?
8 out of 10.
Okay. Nate the Great.
Also 8 out of 10.
Cyber.
10.
Kelly.
7.
Don't feel bad.
I'm not. It's just I was like,
I'm gonna give it a 5.5. I didn't think it was all that good, I won't lie. Although I did like the only thing I liked about it was Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster, the humor, and then the redemption arc for Gamora, and the Ragnarok 3 theme of the film. That's all. Other than that, the other stuff I could have went without, you know. But that's episode 4. Let's jump right into episode 5. They, you know, it's funny, when we first started doing Disney Plus series reviews, Cyber will tell you, Nate, you remember, they used to actually release teaser trailers every week that we could play, right? There'd be a teaser trailer weekly every week for each episode. But now that they're doing things differently, they don't do that anymore. But basically, so when we get into going into episode 5, the premise of episode 5, of course, you know, ends up being, what if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? The Hydra Stomper, and this Captain Carter being the Captain Carter that comes off season 1. And was from the season 1, episode 1, and then also from the last two episodes of the first season, where she was a part of the Watchers hand-selected team, sort of team of defenders of the universe, or multiverse eventually, that had to take on Ultron at the end of season 1 to save the multiverse. So she's coming off that, and the premise of it essentially is that they also adopt the theme essentially in this movie. Of a film that we've seen before, some of us will have seen, and that would be, of course, a classic MCU film, a film that many people actually keep, you know, put at their number one on their ranking list of MCU films. That'd be Captain America: Winter Soldier. That is essentially where this, you know, this reality's Peggy Carter, you know, Captain Carter, where she got this super soldier serum instead of Steve Rogers. She's Captain America, right? Essentially, you know what I'm saying? And Steve never became Captain America. Yet did don an Iron Man-esque like suit in the first season as the Hydra Stomper, right? So basically, in this alternate version, we also end up finding out that, you know, later on, that of course, that Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier, is actually the president, but that's later on in the episode. But essentially, in this, you know, this realm or whatever, 1602 reality, Captain Carter, it starts off with Black Widow being voiced by a voice actor, but I thought did a pretty good job. And they're in battle together, kind of like, you know, on the mission from Winter Soldier, where they go, like, you know, up to the pirate ship, like for the, you know, and that has like the stolen cargo or whatever, whatnot. And they're in action together and kind of like, you know, doing battle, some good fight scenes. And then, you know, sort
excuse
of
me,
like,
Sam, excuse me. You're thinking of the other episode that Carter's in. That's not the Stomper one. That's the 1602 one.
Oh.
There's two of them that Carter's in. There's the 1602 one, but that's a later episode.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah, you're right. The 1602 part is, that's where Wanda's taking her. Ah, okay. I'm sorry. So essentially, this is still the Peggy Carter that comes off of, the original What If season based off the original Captain America film. It's still her, right?
And that, it's the same Peggy. Yes, it's the same Peggy that we saw at the end of the first season, and she gets taken by the monster through the portal.
Yeah, and this is just a version where her as Captain America is adapting to the Winter Soldier plot, basically, right? With Black Widow to start off. And, you know, with some of the characters from that film, take away the Falcon. So basically, what they find out is that the secret, like, cargo, whatever, whatnot, that they had to fight to get to, ends up being sort of a zombified, like, brain-controlled, mind-controlled Steve Rogers, who has somehow, you know, been kept alive from 1953, not under the ice, but for, you know, I guess in the source of the suit they end up flushing out, that in the Hydra Stomper suit, he's been managed to stay alive. But he's, you know, as Widow warns her, he's not himself. And, he sort of, whenever his lights turn red or his like eye slots turn red, he sort of loses it. And he's kind of under somebody else's control, basically. And so he essentially, you know, he right off the bat, he's actually becomes a combatant, and I'll stop there. Cyber, starting with you. What did you think of, seeing the Winter Soldier flushed out like this as a theme, sort of like, you know, a central theme of this episode, using these characters?
I mean, it was okay. I wasn't big into it at all or thought it was anything great. I mean, it was cool to see the, you know, the Romper Stomper come back, the Hydra Stomper, which was really cool because it basically felt just like the one that Tony built in the cave in the beginning of Iron Man 1. And, you know, I thought that was really cool. And, you know, bringing in, you know, Natasha was interesting, a choice, which very much so, yes, it's very much mimicking, you know, Captain America's Winter Soldier, the movie, especially how it begins where Peggy gets in the car with, you know, Black Widow and stuff like that, which is very similar. And, you know, I think that it has some interesting tales and, you know, it's an interesting way of going, but it wasn't anything to me. It wasn't like, oh, I love this or I think this is great. It was okay.
Okay. Kelly, what do you think?
I didn't really see much of the Winter Soldier except for when he came into play after, you know, in the Avengers at the end there, where he's lost his arm, he got a mechanical arm, yada, yada. So,
okay.
So when I saw him in this version, I don't even recall the Hydro Stomper thing there. I mean, I probably could have seen it, but I haven't seen some of these, earlier Avengers or any of some of these old side shows,
sure,
in a while or at all. But I was surprised how old Bucky was in this one for this, you know, episode. So I don't really have an answer because I'm not familiar with the Winter Soldier aspect of it and everything. But I thought it was surprising to see him though older, and as I thought he was the Secretary of State. He wasn't the president, was he? Because
He's Secretary of State.
I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting. Okay. Thank you for correcting me on that. He was Secretary of State then. I apologize.
Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to make sure I was following along. You know,
No. You have seen Peggy Carter.
But other than that, I don't really have any. Well, is she's originally, when she's in the actual movie, she's actually his future wife or whatever, isn't she? Is that the same person?
From Endgame,
or am
I
thinking of someone different? Okay. Yeah, so it was kind of cool seeing the roles reversed, where she was in the position of being captain, and then he never made it any further than 1953, except being stuffed in this robot, so.
Yeah, essentially. What do you think, Nate? Now you know the episodes from What If that we're talking about, and you've seen the Winter Soldier. So what did you think of that whole deal? You know, and seeing the Black Widow pairing, for instance.
Yes, I did see the What If, and I did see the What If, and I did see the Captain America Winter Soldier, but it also kind of towards the end, and I know we're not there yet, but it kind of made me feel like there was a little bit of the Black Widow movie sprinkled in there as well. However, at the beginning, I like how they really did this, and I love the story arc that was presented behind it as well. I enjoyed that one as well.
And I'm going to get into that too. We're going to get into the Red Room stuff in just a minute and whatnot that comes from the Black Widow film. But what are your thoughts, Jess? What did you think? You know, is this your first time ever seeing Peggy Carter?
I've seen her in the Winter Soldier movie. She was like in the military.
Oh, you mean she was old, like older Peggy?
You mean the first
Avenger, Captain America.
Yeah, the first Captain America movie.
Yes, you remember her from that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can never forget her.
Did you see Winter Soldier?
You mean Barnes?
The one where Barnes is in it and whatnot as the villain?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did you think of that whole premise then? That we're dealing with that basically as like, you know, with her as a version of Captain America.
I found it very interesting because basically I had this thought of what if this series is based on like just a continuation of Endgame, where you know how Steve Rogers went back in time in Endgame and reunited with Peggy. So I had like this thought that, okay, what if Peggy decided to go through that same procedure to become like Captain America? But then in the show, they're saying as if Captain America died in 1953 instead of what we saw in the second Captain America movie, which was 1945.
They hid the information from her that she was told he died, right? This is what you didn't watch because you didn't see him. What if season one? They showed the story where she does get the serum. She does, so she is souped up like Captain America. She has her ability and all that, right? Steve didn't get, because of whatever happened in that episode, Steve didn't get the serum. She did. And so at that point, so Steve still ended up teaming up with her to fight Hydra and the Red Skull and everything and whatnot, right? In the What If episode. But now, right, at this point, she thought Steve was dead this whole time. Everyone else is aged. Essentially, right? Peggy,
except for Black Widow and her.
Except for Peggy Carter, because she has a super soldier serum. That's why she still looks young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though she looks like she's still in her 30s, even though she was in her 30s in 1953 or whatever. Or whatever the hell, I have no idea. But so, what did you have any thoughts? Anything else? You know, about that
episode? So when we saw how like this whole thing took place in like modern times, I don't know why I had like this thought that, you know, like the head of the soldiers, you know, the guy with like, he has like some facial hair and stuff, muscular. I don't know why for a moment I thought he was going to be the bad guy of the show. Like
Nick Fury from S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, not the guy with the eye patch. No, the, he's like one of those soldiers, like the captain of the soldiers.
Oh,
you know the guy who like betrayed Captain America in the second movie?
I know you're talking about.
I don't know why for a moment I thought that he's gonna like, I guess, turn Barnes into the Stomper guy, the Soviet Union guy. But then as the show went on, I'm like, wait, this guy's the good guy?
I get what you're saying. I got you. So basically, now what I left out and should have mentioned to you guys before I asked the question is the fact that yes, it turns out that instead of Hydra brainwashing Bucky, you know, the Steve, like Bucky, this time it's the Red Room, the USSR, Russia, that got a hold of Steve Rogers, right, after World War II, and brainwashed him. And he's been trained by the Red Room where Black Widow was trained, right? And
as that's good. It's good they added Black Widow in this.
Well, in the Black Widow film, they take down the Red Room. Right, mm-hmm. That's the whole deal with the film is that they, you know,
and free all those people.
They take down the Red Room. So he's under control of the Red Room. And he's been turned into a weapon, basically. He's just been basically been like a hitman for them for decades. And so Peggy's able to get through to him, to Steve, through his training, similar to Bucky with Steve in the films, right? She's able to break through. And at that point, he actually, you know, he wants to team up and work together to take down the Red Room. So that's what they end up doing. You know, they end up, you know, going in a battle against the Red Room. Her, you know, Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow, Captain Carter, engage in a major battle, with the Hydra Stomper when they get there, whatnot, everything. Because again, you know, Steve Rogers is under control by the Red Room. The Red Room now is actually run by, from the Black Widow film, Natasha's mother. She actually runs the Red Room now. She's not a good guy. She's a bad guy, right? She has control of Steve when he's in the Hydra Stomper armor. That's what keeps him alive, and you know, it has kept him young. So essentially, what we end up seeing is, you know, again, Black Widow and, you know, Captain Carter taking on Steve Rogers and the Hydra Stomper, along with the Widows as well. And then again, Peggy Carter getting through to Steve Rogers with the Hydra Stomper Arper and managing to get him to where he ends up sacrificing himself to take out the Red Room. And I'll stop there. So going to you, Cal, what did you think of that whole patch of the episode? Anything that stood out to you, you know, that anything you, that you, maybe you enjoyed, or, you know, what did you think of Steve sacrificing himself?
So like the two times that she's like, cause he was being controlled. Hold on. I can't hear myself. There we go. She got through to him at a couple points there, but it was almost kind of like once he had the helmet on, his eyes turned red. But she still managed at the end while he had the red eyes and helmet and he was getting ready to aim at her and everything. She got through to him again and just talked to him. And he just decided, to me, it was almost like he finally could hear her even with the helmet off and with it on being controlled. He didn't let the Red Room really get to him. So he focused on her and decided he was just going to sacrifice himself. And at the same time, Black Widow taking that opportunity to shoot up one of those grappling hooks. I don't even know if that's what a grappling hook is or whatever, but whatever that was, and taking her mother up with it. That was probably the best part. If I could take anyone's mother up, let me tell you, I wouldn't be taking my mother. I'd send my sister right up to that freaking wormhole. But I thought that was a really good part. And it was just interesting seeing, like I said before, it was really interesting seeing the roles reverse where she was the captain, and loved the accent. I loved how they really kind of really got her fit looking in that suit and everything. And she was in charge. And I really liked that. But I mean, so this one still wasn't, this one was better than the previous one, but I really liked the ending and everything. But those creepy ass friggin' people shooting out those electroids too are like, those are freaking crazy. I would say the same thing.
Those are the mind control. Those are other Black Widows in training, right?
No. I'm talking about the people that were around the town and
the animatronics.
Took those electrodes and shot out of here.
Yeah,
little things that came out.
They were creepy, weren't they?
Those are the creepiest fuckers ever. I was like,
it kind of reminds you of like the if you watched the WandaVision and whatnot, where Wanda like had everybody under her hex and all this shit and whatnot. It was kind of reminds me of that a little bit and whatnot. But I'm glad you mentioned that, Cal. That was weird.
Yeah. So and yeah, she took the hand of one of them and just shot him at him. I was like, way to go.
So you really enjoyed it. You really enjoyed the whole Peggy Carter's Captain America deal?
I did. I actually like to see that reverse role, you know, for once, a lady taking charge.
Well, I think because of the relationship with her and Steve, right? Like, it kind of works. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't come off the wrong way or anything like that. But what do you think, Rathacon?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? And please feel free to say whatever you want about the weirdo fucking cardboard people or whatever the fuck that shit are.
I'm not going to talk about the weird animatronics thing. Okay. I will say, though, as someone who has seen Black Widow, it was so cool to see not only, like, Melina, but, like, also the other Black Widows, too. Like, you know, meeting Carter and Black Widow after they destroy all those animatronics. Like, I think the last time I saw them, or, like, in that movie, it's, like, Black Widow already freed those people. But, like, here, it's, like, those people aren't free. And they're, like, shooting them with like so much force. So yeah, that was cool. What else? Also, Jeff, do you have a cool joke to make regarding how Melina showed her new suit? You're mute.
Oh, you mean the mother? You mean Black Widow's mom?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, honestly.
Okay.
She didn't look all that voluptuous to me. Like, she doesn't look as hot as like the X-Men animated girls like look like. They look fine.
Okay. I thought you were gonna say something else. But that's okay. There's a scene before that where I think they were at a house, a cabin. I was just wondering, is that the same cabin that we saw in Black Widow?
It was like a Black Widow hideout spot.
Okay, the same one where like
it could have been one of several. You never know with the Black Widow. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Because she lives that kind of life, right?
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Is that a wrap, sir?
Okay. That is a wrap.
Oh, most definitely. Cyber, sir, what do you got, sir?
Refresh me of what portion we're talking about again.
We're going up to the point where Steve Rogers at like as the Red Room controlled Steve Rogers, right? Like breaks through his training, and whatnot, or like his mind control and shit and whatnot, and like sacrifices himself to take out the Red Room.
So the end of the episode.
Yeah, just okay. I'm just saving the part with the Scarlet Witch.
Anyway, the Scarlet Witch was in 1602, sir.
Oh, is that when that happened?
Yes.
I'm screwed up by ChatGPT again, sir.
So ChatGPT was in 1602, but she did have an appearance at the end because they kind of played it off to lead up to 1602.
I'm learning how to use ChatGPT more and everything and whatnot, right? So, like, I it's a learning process, and so you know, I'm using plugins that where it's making outlines for me based off articles and YouTube videos and shit and whatnot. And sometimes it screws up. Cyber, go ahead, sir. But thank you for getting me straightened out on that. Yes, basically the end of the episode.
Okay. The end of the episode is interesting simply for the fact, you know, that we go to that little town where Natasha has a hideout, and there's all those cardboard people, as people have mentioned, the robots, and they start having, like, shooting things, and they basically have kind of that battle sequence there, trying to get Steve back into command so that they can use him. We get introduced, of course, to Rachel Weisz revoicing her character there again from the Black Widow film. And which was really fun. And listening to her talk, I have a hard time pinning that voice to her because just how she sounded in the voice recording, it did not sound like her to me. I felt she sounded more authentic in the actual film than she did with this voice recording. It sounded not as thick, I feel. But at the same time, it's like them taking the Black Widow kind of storyline, including it in the brainwashing of Steve. In a parallel universe where he doesn't get the super soldier serum and Peggy does, you're kind of like going, wow, they really switched it all the way up, didn't they? And you know, him destroying the Red Room was hilarious, I thought. Him, you know, basically almost like Captain Marveling, like Captain Marvel destroyed Thanos' ship in Endgame, was kind of interesting. And then him actually being, you know, that him being still alive at the end after doing that, I thought was kind of interesting. She's going to, you know, Peggy says she's going to find him. And, but I thought it was very action packed at the end of this episode. And I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really fun. Thought the action was done really well. There were some great kind of one-liners that, you know, that Black Widow says, and that, you know, Peggy says at a couple points. And, you know, Peggy Carter is a interesting character because Hayley Atwell does such a great job of playing the character. And her, like, interpretation of being, if she was the one that got the super soldier serum, is always kind of funny to listen to and watch. Because I feel she definitely takes on, like, she tries to imitate Captain America a little too much. And I think what would make it better for her to be a version of Captain America as if she made it her own. Cause I feel like it was more of a ripoff of Captain America versus like a version of like, this is Captain Carter. She can be just as badass as Captain America, but she's still an exact imitation of him, you know? So, I mean, I think Peggy has definitely different thought processes than Steve does. So I think if they had done that, it would have made the character more interesting for me, because it being just kind of like a carbon copy of it, just, the taking and switching out genders, it just doesn't make sense because she can be just as good, but in her own way. And that's the only reason I don't like the Captain Carter thing as much as Cap, is because I feel it's too much of an imitation versus its own thing. And so I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't care too much for the episode, is because it didn't feel like original. It just felt kind of like carbon copy, like pretty much the rest of the episode. Other than that, really great ending and really enjoyable.
Okay. Nate the Great, sir.
Nate, I think you're mute.
Nate.
You're sorry. Again, this is the first time on the phone, so.
You're fine. Believe me, I've been there.
So. I also kind of really like the ending. You gave a little bit of a plot twist when they explain what happened in the 1602 version, and I kind of think it was a little bit sad that and depending on time, if I'll talk. I don't want to give too much away, but. They don't really. It's kind of sad that Peggy and Hydra Stomper don't really have the happy ending in that episode. But it's, you know, also middle of the season, and they still haven't released a third season yet. So who knows? But yeah, I kind of really enjoyed the ending of that episode, giving off a plot twist there.
Okay. Does anybody have any final thoughts on the episode? No? All right, ratings. No, I'll go right back to you, Nate.
I'm going to give it 9.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 9 as well. Rathacon?
I was going to say 8.5, but we could just round it to 9.
Okay, that's very monolithic of you. Cyber?
I give it a 7.
All right, Cal?
You're muted, Cal.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8.
Okay. All right, I was going to make a joke there for a minute off that you give them that 8, but it'll be very crude, so I'm going to save it for later. But anyways, all right, please, well, that is our shit show technical difficulty. Jeff didn't hit the live button correct or whatever. Review of What If episode 4 and 5, even though we lost a good like 30 minutes of our episode 4 review part of the episode. That's okay though. You guys did a wonderful job on the panel. And does anybody have any, you know, I guess it's like a final question before I go over to plugs, right? I'll go around and just ask everybody what your thoughts are. Even if you've gone ahead and watched ahead of episode five, staying with episode five, where are you at with season two, episode five, with What If, like with the season? I'll start with you, Rathacon, since you're the newest to this stuff and whatnot, everything, right? What do you think about episodes one through five of What If season two so far? It's like a midway point mark, kind of.
Overall, I'm just liking how they just add more depth to like the characters that I see a lot in the MCU films, but at the same time, like, you know, these characters are like side characters, like Nebula and stuff. So it's nice. I like that they're showing off their creativity here compared to, like, you know, the other MCU films where they try to like stick to the script.
Okay.
Wait, is my audio okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
No, I didn't know when you were done or not. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. I'm done.
You're very concise on the panel, my friend. All right. What do you think, Cal? What are your thoughts on where we're at, like, through episode five?
Well, I haven't gone any further than five, but I stick to earlier before we weren't taping and say that four and five are kind of on the low on my totem pole, but two and three were above the totem pole.
Okay. Cyber Sir, what are your thoughts? Kind of like, you know, almost like a mid-season kind of any remarks?
Like I said, three and four were decent. Three, definitely my favorite. Four would be my second at the moment. The other three episodes are okay. They have good things to them. But for the most part, I think that the highlight was definitely three and four.
Okay. Yeah, I thought episode one was pretty decent too. What do you think overall, Nate the Great?
So I actually watched from beginning to end. Won't spoil it. However, I will say that this, even with the episodes after this, is my favorite episode of the season. I like the second half of the season better than the first.
Nate, if you have anything that you want me to plug at the end of these What If episode reviews, now that you're doing different stuff now, and I don't have your new links. So you got to let me know. Just throw me a link or whatever, whatnot, right? Or tell me what to pull up, and I'll pull up and I'll plug, like, you know, the content you're making with Cole, right, or whatever, whatnot, or like you just mentioned in the private chat, you mentioned of the, you know, interviewing an assistant coach. If there's anything you want me to pull up so you can plug anything, just let me know.
Yeah, so that was actually a funny story. That happened a few years ago. I interviewed an assistant NBA coach, and I accidentally forgot to hit the record button when I interviewed on him on Zoom. So none of that actually posted, but that was a long story. However, what's been happening more recently, what I probably should do is create the links like to the stuff next time I hop on here, and that way I can post them in the private chat. I've been doing a sports show, usually about 20 minutes long, one topic, and then I just keep it through the Monday through whenever I have that day off or the evening free. It keep the weekends out of it though. My other show, I have a show called Embracing with Yahweh. It's a religion show. Me and three other people on the panel, their names are Logan, Cole, and Pete, talk about different religious topics because Cole and I are both members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Pete is Pentecostal, and Cole is Catholic. I mean, Logan is Catholic. And so we discuss different topics without having a little bit of a debate on them. We just, you know, mutually disagree or agree on over certain different things that we believe within our three different religions. Anybody is invited at any time to make a guest appearance over and mention what they believe over this certain aspect.
That's right. We could talk about my non-monogamy, right, on the show as a Christian. You know what I mean? Whatnot. You know, and, it'll be great. But thank you, Nate. That's almost as good as plug. That's verbal plugs. That's great. That's old school. Rathacon, you don't have any plugs, maybe. But thank you for
coming. Not yet, no.
Thank you for doing another episode, another set of episode reviews with us. We really appreciate you on the Bleeding Edge, brother.
Yes, please. Wait, Fridays, right?
Fridays. Make sure that you give me a call on the phone too and stay in touch.
Oh yes, I will tomorrow.
Don't be a stranger. If you want to dip, man, while I do plugs, you can.
I'll just sit around and hear the plugs.
All right. You know what? You sit here and enjoy these plugs, motherfucker. Enjoy Kelly's reactions, bitch. There you go, Kelly. Look at that. Look at that intro I just set up for you. What happened, Cal?
What's your wildest reaction?
Kelly!
Can you Kelly, hear you're Cal? Mute.
Cal.
Yeah.
Did you take your edible again before the show?
No, I just took it about a half hour ago. It shouldn't be kicking in yet.
It kicked in, I think.
So here you have, here you have all the videos I have in here. I've got a row where there's where I was out without a computer. I had this nice gentleman from Maine as well. He's more on the further east of Maine, but he sent me videos to at least keep my page active until I were to get better setup. And he was very helpful. I appreciate it. Down below are the popular videos. And then you have ones I'm collaborated with Jeff here. There'll probably be some more on Sundays. They'll be posted here. On Sundays, I usually post the secret video on Patreon, which gets posted later on in the week on YouTube, but I keep it probably like for a week on Patreon before posting it on YouTube. And then my YouTube schedule is Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. A video will pop up and of a reaction of what someone has suggested in the comments. I mean, I got quite the list going, so there's still more to react to, so I can't wait. I look forward to doing more.
Well, there you go. And we're going to do, and we're doing reactions this Sunday if I can ever get my pictures over to you, right?
Yeah, you got to get them so I can fix the intro too.
I sent you that picture that earlier, that screenshot, and showed you that like I have everything set up. It's just that we only have natural light till like it 4 o'clock.
Looked like you're getting ready for a porn movie in that picture you sent me, all the cameras and the light.
No, I took advantage of my son being here and I had him sit in my desk because he's taller than me. And I, since he was there, I was able to use my set up my camera angles and my tripod, so I could just leave him sitting there, right in the same position, and then I can just sit there and take the pictures there with my remote. That's what that no porn shoot. I promise that was yesterday, the other day. Not today. All right, let's see. Cybernetic Shark, sir. I'll get to you right here. There you are.
All right, folks, if you enjoy me here on the Bleeding Edge as a moderator or on the panel, definitely check out my solo content. You'll find me under Cybernetic Shark on YouTube, Instagram, X, Threads, pretty much everywhere, Patreon. So definitely check those out. As you can see, I'm currently at 726. I've picked up like 10 to 12 new subscribers in the last week or so, which has been great. Most recent review, as you can see there, is Napoleon. Definitely check that out. Really fun. Got Kung Fu Panda 4 trailer reaction up there for you guys too. My Godzilla Minus One review. Definitely check that out too. We have a new video up tomorrow. Another trailer reaction. So keep your eyes out for that. Also, just on my mini reviews, I just recently saw Saltburn and Dream Scenario. So you definitely got to check that out too as well. Those were fun, but yeah, definitely check out the stuff. Help me get to that magic 1000 mark.
There you go, folks. Can't wait to see Napoleon myself, Cyber. All right, folks. Well, we're out of here. Nate, thank you for being on, brother. Rathacon, Cal, Cyber Knight Sharster.
Yep.
Another one in the tank, folks.
Thank you, True Knowledge.
We'll see y'all later. See you next week when we do episodes, what, 6 and 7?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give myself Danny the Award tonight, the Danny the Award tonight to myself. I'm the recipient of the Danny Award for not hitting the live button correctly and for the start of the show. So our first Danny Award winner is me, True Knowledge, Jeff S.
No, you already gave yourself one.
That's so
this is two.
But this is just what if though reviews though, like only Danny. This one in that category. My other Danny doesn't count in this category.
No.
There you go.
All,
see?
All the same. All the same.
Okay, if you say so, sir.
He dedicates 8 hours a day role-playing as a toddler.
I'm in baby mode on and off all day.
And Jess's daddy is caring for her.
I'm 20, but not really, because I'm 5.
Adopted mommy and daddy who are totally comfortable with me being a little girl.
I identify as an 8-year-old girl called Denise. Therefore, I am an 8-year-old girl.
That's right, folks. I am an 8-year-old girl tonight. I'm moderating as an 8-year-old girl. On the show, right? Because I'm jealous of Andre's and Cyber's green screens. So, you know, either way, of course, folks, only the MCU's Bleeding Edge YouTube channel podcast. I'm so used to our poster being over here in the
crank that volume, turn it way up. Get your weapon, get your blade out.